The Ozone.
Welcome to the Ozone Podcast, presented by ViStar Credit Union, with Jaguars senior writer, John Osier.
All of these are fun because we get to know players we haven't gotten to know before. This one should be especially fun. We're talking to a member of the rookie class. I'll make it quick. It's Chad Muma from Wyoming. And Chad, thank you for joining us today.
No, thank you so much for, you know, having me here and getting me on the podcast. I love, you know, just being finally in Jacksonville.
Now, this is going to run next week, so I'll tell the listeners that up front. But this is being recorded on the first practice of rookie minicamp. So, obvious question, tell me about your experience with it, and just tell me about the day so far and the weekend so far.
Yeah, the weekend's been great. You know, we first got into our meetings last night, and, you know, it's a lot to install, but I think, you know, the communication out there today was great by the whole, you know, at least I'm speaking for the defense. Everyone was really communicative, and, you know, I've had a good feel with, you know, the defensive guys that we have here at this rookie camp, and, you know, you can see the leadership out there and, you know, players wanting to push each other and make each other better. So it was a, you know, a great first day.
Now, I've talked to your defensive coordinator from college already. He assured me that picking up the scheme won't be a problem for you. You pride yourself on that, correct?
No, correct. I definitely pride myself on that. And, you know, definitely, you know, it's the first day. You're going to have some little things here and there that come up. But, you know, I really pride myself on, you know, being able to pick up things, not only for what I'm supposed to be doing out there, but more specifically everyone around me.
Do you ever get tired of being described as a green dot linebacker? It's the first time I've ever heard the term, by the way. And all of a sudden, that's all I read when I hear about Chad Muma.
Yeah, no, I never get tired of that. I think I kind of, you know, go back to that pride thing about, you know, knowing what I'm doing out there and being able to really communicate to everyone on the defense and talk to everyone. So that's definitely something that I pride myself in being described as.
In talking to guys who have played that role before, the first thing they always say is, if you're going to be that guy, you better be playing at a high level as well. I assume you subscribe to that theory.
Yeah, no, definitely. You got to, you know, when you're the green dot player, you can't let that communication get in the way of your play. And I think, you know, that it's kind of goes to that leadership style where if you're that green dot player and you're leading everyone out there, you got to be one of the best players, if not the best player, when you're communicating to everyone and, you know, making the plays yourself. It kind of gets everyone going a little bit.
How do you come in as a rookie? You got to balance confidence with knowing that it's a process to get to where you want to go. When you think about next season, think about what your role is. Do you think about that at all, or is it all, okay, I'm going to focus on today, then the next day, then the next day?
It's definitely a day-to-day thing. It's, you know, every single day you got to come in here and just put in the work, you know, keep your head down and not talk too much, but, you know, you're going to still be out there leading. But, you know, my philosophy about it is take every day at a time and get better every single day and get better compared to the day before.
I haven't asked this of a lot of rookies because it hasn't been a thing for a lot of guys in college. The year of COVID, you only played 4 or 5 games, correct?
Correct. Yeah, we had 6 games that year.
How did that, when you're facing that and thinking about your career coming up and your goals, what was that year like in terms of anxiety on that level for you, in terms of, okay, I'm losing games here, or was that even on your mind at all?
No, it definitely was. You know, to start the season, our season actually got canceled in August.
That's right. Yep.
And that's kind of how it started. And so that was a really big bummer because then we were thinking, okay, we might get the opportunity to play this spring and then we'll go straight into the fall, which I was all up for. I just wanted to be able to play. And so, you know, when that happened, our season actually got put back on. It was only conference games. And, you know, that year was really difficult because we had a couple games that were canceled due to COVID restrictions and, you know, that thought's definitely in the back of your mind. But at the end of the day, I just really wanted to go out there and play. And I think that, you know, Wyoming did a great job of always putting ourselves in the position to be able to go out and go play. And so that was the biggest thing. That's the thing kind of hurt that year is just only being able to play 6 games. So this past year, I really took advantage of all 13 games that I got to play in.
And it was kind of leading up to this question. Had a chance to go back to Wyoming if you had wanted to, correct?
Correct, yeah.
When did you sort of know, okay, I think I'm ready?
Yeah, it was kind of a communication with my head coach at Wyoming. We had that communication going out throughout the whole year, starting in the beginning. And he really just told me to, you know, just focus on my play and not really worry about that. That will all come. Just go out there and have fun and go play. And so that's what I did. And then come to the end of the season, he kind of sat me down and he said, you know, I think you're ready and you should take this opportunity. And so I went with that and was able to, you know, go to the Senior Bowl, go to the Combine, and end up here now.
In talking to your coordinator, Coach Savell, he told me a story. He said basically he was telling people before this season, look, we better plan without Muma because he's not going to be here. So he had confidence in you maybe before the head coach did.
Yeah.
So I'm kidding about that. But, and on a more serious topic, we talked before you came on, in reading about you, diagnosed with type 1 diabetes when you were in seventh grade, correct?
Right.
Tell me first about that. I've read a little bit about it, but it's fascinating how you must try to deal with that at that age, and then sort of as you play through it with a high-level athletic career.
Yeah, so when I was first diagnosed, I was, you know, 13 years old, and I was going through all the, you know, type 1 diabetes symptoms. So, you know, you're drinking water all the time, you're always going to the restroom, you're, you know, always tired. And so, like, every night I wake up and have to go to the restroom at least once, and then I'm turning on the faucet for about 5 minutes and just sitting there with my head underneath. And, you know, after school every day, I'm coming home just going straight to, you know, taking a nap. And I, at the time, I was like, man, you know, puberty kind of sucks. I'm going through all this and everything. But, you know, after a couple of weeks, my parents kind of took notice of the symptoms. Right. And I actually lost about 30 pounds over that little course.
Okay.
That's when you should be really putting on weight. And so that's when I went in and got checked out. And, you know, at the time, I think my blood sugar was like 550. And it was the morning time, which for a normal person, their range is between 70 and 150. And so mine was like 550 or something like that. And so then I was in the hospital all day until I got some insulin in me and got my numbers back down. And, you know, now it's just really about managing it and just making sure that I'm always staying on top of it. So I'm in that range and I'm able to, you know, go play football, go work out, go do these things. And so that's just kind of been something that, you know, I have to live with daily, but just be extremely disciplined with, and, you know, everything's all right with it.
And it's something, correct me if I'm wrong, that you monitor during games, at the end of quarters or halves, and that, and in practice at the same time. But it's also something you've been doing for what now, 10 years?
Yeah, no, it seems like it's been going on for a while now. But, you know, definitely in games, what I'll do is I'll test my blood sugar at each quarter, and then I'll adjust my numbers based off of if I need to give myself insulin, if my sugar's too high, or if my blood sugar goes too low, I'll drink some Gatorade and eat some like fruit snacks or something like that. And so it's kind of similar with practice. I'll test about halfway through, make sure my numbers are still stable, and kind of just go for there.
Now, the main reason I asked in reading about this with you, it strikes me that it's very important for you to help in educating kids younger than you and to be sort of an inspiration. Am I reading that right?
Yeah. So when I was, I was 13 years old, and, you know, the first thing I did was search NFL players with type 1 diabetes. And, you know, Jay Cutler was the one that came up. I'm from Denver. And so at the time, I was a really big Broncos fan. He was at Denver for a little bit when he got diagnosed. And that was kind of it, but I knew it was possible. So I think it's kind of being that voice for the younger athletes, and not only football, just athletes in general, that have type 1 diabetes, and just let them know that, you know, don't let this disease hold them back from going out and, you know, achieving all their aspiration and goals that they have.
And I assume finding out about Jay at the time, even though probably some doctors had told you that it was possible, that always helps see somebody who's actually doing it.
It always helps. I definitely think so. And, you know, today, like in the NFL, you have guys like Mark Andrews and, you know, Noah Gray and a couple others. And so just having multiple guys with type 1 diabetes have that success. And, you know, there's other sports. You know, I'm sitting down with a group called it's the group called Hope Diabetes for Hope or something like that. And we're kind of getting together with different professional athletes and going to be able to help some younger athletes and kind of be those voice for all those different sports.
Very cool. Final question along these lines, and then we'll do something fun here at the end. When I talked to your coordinator, he said the thing that stood out the most to him was that you're the same guy every day. Tuesday practice, Saturday game, whatever. What does that mean for you to hear that? I assume that's something you take pride in.
Definitely. You know, it's just that same mindset going back to it and just saying that every day I'm going to try, you know, everything in my ability to get better. And you know, it's definitely a consistency piece. You can't just be, you know, on some days and off the other days. It's always going constant, you know, 100% of the time. And so that's kind of just that attitude and mindset that I take to every day. And so, you know, I appreciate those words from my old defensive coordinator, but it's something I definitely take pride in.
I got you. Final thing we do here, Chad, is what we call the Ozone 5.
The Ozone 5.
Five quick questions, answer however you like. What was your last binge watch?
Binge watch, Ozark.
Mine too, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, so, no, I love that show, and so it just came out a new season, so I had to binge watch that.
Oh, did you rewatch it, or did you watch it?
Just watch the you know, the last season again.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of the end. But I'm not gonna tell people
no
what it was.
Alerts.
Your first football memory, either as a player or just being aware of the game.
Yeah, I was six. I was like 5 years old, and I was going to my brother's practices, and he was you know, practicing with like some 7 year olds, and. It was full padded practice at that time. I'm 5 years old. I'm suited up, and My dad's throwing me in there some Oklahoma drill, and I'm the running back, and I'm just getting lit up by these 7 year olds, and that's kind of like the first football memory that I really have. But I think it kind of helped me into, you know, grow the love I have for it now.
And I assume you were an insane Broncos fan growing up, right?
Definitely. No, I was always, you know, a Denver fan growing up, all Denver sports.
Yeah, for Jaguars fans, fortunately, you weren't born in 96, right?
Right, no.
Good for you. but you know the story, right?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. What song did you listen to the last time you were in your car?
Ooh, song I listened to in my car. It's kind of an oddball, but it was this guy named Rex Orange County, and it's off his new album. It's called One in a Million.
Okay,
yeah, it's cool. A little bit slower, but you know, I really enjoy Rex Orange County's music.
I like it. Good answer. Best player you've ever played against?
Best player?
Yeah.
I think in my college career, you know, going up against, you know, Trey McBride every single year, he's someone that really stands out to me. He's you know, the tight end from Colorado State. He's now with Arizona Cardinals. That's someone that, you know, I had to go up against every single year. And so, you know, playing against him is always a good little competition.
Final question. We'll get you out of here. Who's most responsible in your life for you being here?
My father, for sure. You know, he's really, you know, developed me into who I am today and, you know, kind of helped me be the man I am. And, you know, he really taught me a lot about football, and he kind of helped me grow my love for football from a young age.
Got your Father's Day coming up. Take care of him.
Yep.
So, Chad, I appreciate you doing this. I know it's a busy weekend for you, but thank you for letting our fans get to know you a little bit. I look forward to working with you.
Appreciate it. Thank you so much.